CliffCentral.com.
The Leadership Platform is brought to you by Sibanye-Gold, a proudly South African mining company.
At Sibanye-Gold, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. Which is why we have partnered with the Leadership Platform to nurture leaders who are committed to growing our country's economy.
We are proud to say it's an initiative that's already showing glittering results. Sibanye-Gold, we are one.
Leadership Masterclass, first half hour Leadership Master Lesson. Visit leadershipplatform.com for all things leadership. Two P's in the middle. As I said, Adrian Groenewald, Louis Groenewald, Alison Nyandu, and our special lady who's not always here, but she comes in for book reviews once a month, Lorraine Tlapolosa. Welcome, Lorraine.
Thanks, Adrian. Good to be here.
It's good to have you with us. Last week, our master lesson was about turning around a struggling business, and it was with the CEO of CELC, José dos Santos. And that's the first half hour most people have missed. It was in the second half hour that he uttered some words that went through all over the world, and most of us would probably know about that. But do not miss the first half hour. Undoubtedly, him and his team have turned around CELC from a real struggling business to a success story at this stage. So do download that podcast. Having said that, today we need to close the loop on this whole CELC CEO. So let me spend a few minutes. Hopefully it doesn't bore you out there, but my audience or my panel might be for a few minutes. But I'm going to share my thoughts because my name also went out there to some degree. And we hosted José dos Santos, CELC CEO, on this very weekly Leadership Masterclass on Cliff Central. And this is where he uttered those controversial words about women. You may remember the words bitch switch. But I'll come back to that. First, I want to share a thought on this very matter. Or before I share this, I want to just share a principle in which I passionately believe. I really do. And then I'll actually make a few confessions. I'll make myself vulnerable. I'll make a few confessions. And then share my thoughts on the whole José dos Santos issue. I personally cringe every time our society fumbles its way through a very challenging or controversial issue. Then letting it blow over like all these things always do, without taking the time to consciously learn from it. It almost seems like we utter a sigh of relief, hoping it never happens again. Maybe it can happen to someone else next time, and hopefully never to me personally again. That's kind of our attitude in many instances. Just to mention a few, we remember hash Penny Sparrow saga. Even the hash Gareth Cliff and Mnet confrontation. The Gupta or Zupta ongoing debacle. Last year's fees must fall wave that swept across the country. The hash Zuma must fall. And more recently, the José dos Santos sexism row. Now, I hope my words today, and maybe the panel conversation, contribute to our nation's what I will call learning capital, rather than add to the breaking down syndrome that we suffer from so often. Breaking down race relations, gender relations, political leader-follower relations, employer-employee relations, government-business relations, business-labor relations, and I can go on and on. There's too much of this going on. My first confession. Yep, I am a 48-year-old male. And by the mere fact that I was raised in a sexist society, I have some level of sexism ingrained inside me. Which prejudice I have overcome to some degree over the years, I believe, and those closest to me would hopefully attest to this. Further to this, I'm also a white South African male, and by the mere fact of being born and raised in South Africa, I have racism ingrained inside of me as well. But I prefer to compare this prejudice to being a recovered alcoholic, because I've had innumerable experiences and privileges, I might add, some intentional and others unintentional, that have cured me of racism. However, being cured still means, like being a cured alcoholic, I have to be on my guard at all times, careful and vigilant, because I could slip back into it. Now, I further confess, finally, that I have many frailties and surely other prejudices as well. Why? Because I am human and was raised by wonderful but human parents, surrounded by a community of family, friends, teachers, and many others that were also human, in a society with far too many faults and weaknesses to mention. Now, this message is not about you, the listener. So I cannot volunteer on your behalf. However, I am willing to bet that if you are completely honest with yourself, you too have some prejudices. And it is undoubtedly impossible for you and I to tone these down or even master them fully without first realizing it, admitting it, sometimes publicly, and then working on them very consciously and determinedly. Not in an excuse me for living kind of way, but with boldness, confidence, and humility. Now, this awareness of my prejudices should render me reluctant to judge others when they display prejudice of any kind. Because how can I judge another of that which I have been guilty of, in some way and at some level? And I suggest that you should feel the same. However, it is one thing to understand the principle of treating others as you want to be treated and actually living it fully. Now, as a side thought, I find it strange how we want others to consider our intent when they judge us, but we choose to judge others on their words and actions only and not their intent. While we need to treat others as we want to be treated in order to rid our society of damaging prejudices, we have to somehow judge words and actions before we can address these issues and improve. And this, to me, poses a dilemma. From my side, if I do or say something that defies our society's norms, I would expect to be judged, preferably by those that are given the authority to do so, or at least by those that have no mote in their eye. But alas, this is not going to happen in a world that is more connected than ever, filled with an audience where no one is perfect, where all are human with faults, sins, and prejudices. So, I guess, let us expect to be judged. But let us also remember this. The mere fact that when we judge, we very likely suffer from the very same act or belief or something like it that we are casting a judgment on requires from us a certain responsibility. And this is it. I can judge your words and actions, but I must do so in a more compassionate, understanding manner. And just because you have been caught out, often simply because you are more visible and prominent than I am, does not make me better than you because I haven't, bestowing upon me some sort of right to castigate and bully you publicly these days on social media. Now, News24 reported on the José dos Santos incident extensively, and we're going to talk about it in a moment. And when all was said and done, the most recent and maybe final article on it was published under the headline, South Africa overreacted in little brackets to cell CCO comments dash FIN24 users. The article and comments by readers stand on its own feet, let me say that, and it had me thinking of this incident from another angle. Here goes. Dos Santos was judged harshly of sexism because of a choice of words on a public platform. Ironically, around that very thing which he so passionately promotes and believes in, women empowerment. He was also taken to task for generalizing when it came to women. Yet, John Gray, author of the book Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, made a fortune from generalizing, and so have many other authors. Dos Santos's track record of empowering women, or creating an environment that allows for women to be empowered, because someone took me on Twitter and said, the mere fact that you suggest men must empower women makes one sexist. So creating an environment that allows for women to be empowered speaks for itself. But as Reedy Thlaby asked me on Twitter, does his empowerment of women mean he cannot be sexist? My answer is of course not, because he too was raised in a sexist world and perhaps he too has some of it ingrained inside him. But looking at him in context, having had a woman executive tell me personally, face to face, she never wants to work for another boss again. Considering all the women empowerment projects over time, and when 40 plus senior women managers in the organization of their own volition publish a statement in support of their leader, then we can assume he is at worst a recovering sexist. Go on to TED Talks and look for talks on differences between men and women. And what Dos Santos said will be corroborated over and over again. Collectively speaking, it seems women are more tolerant. Women are more compassionate. Men do act differently around women in general and often more so around those whom they perceive to be a beautiful and or intelligent woman. Mostly, more controlled behavior and less cursing takes place when a woman enters the boardroom. The meaning of his bad choice of the words bitch switch would probably be verified, again, collectively speaking, by many psychologists and empirical studies. But of course it would be given a different, more scientific label. Now, here goes. Dos Santos in reality criticized men. Men, us, men, by clearly implying women are better. He was by default saying men are more intolerant and less compassionate than women. Are we offended? Seems not. Perhaps it is because we have not been the recipients of sexism over the ages. He was complimenting women and then attempting to balance the conversation by also stating some challenges in having 60% staff as women. Now, why do we overreact as reported in the News 24 article? Overlooking some of the principles discussed in this very message is partly why, but we are also maturing as far as embracing social media is concerned. It is still new. It places power back into the hands of the masses and gives ordinary individuals a voice. This is ultimately good, but also unprecedented in so many ways, on so many levels. It's even dangerous. As we learn to deal with this as a society, we of necessity also have to navigate our way through some dangerous storms where members of our society may unfortunately become casualties, often prominent individuals. Having said this, the last thing we need is for opinion leaders to become overcautious and even reluctant to enter crucial public debates, which will be the case if we don't mature quickly by embracing some of the principles discussed in this message. Now, finally, these are my views, but I accept that as a fallible human being, I may not be perfectly on the button. Now try to judge my intent, which is that we as a nation debate in a healthy manner those crucial and oft controversial issues, so that we understand better and graduate towards more maturity in a world that continues to move on, almost too fast for us to keep pace. And those are some of my thoughts on what started last week on our show, and hopefully we learn from it. Now, my panel, thoughts on whether we consciously learn from challenging controversial experiences. I mean, Alice, you were mentioning something before the show, which maybe speaks to this question. Are we actually consciously learning from these controversial experiences, all these hashtags? We move on to the next one and the next one. It almost feels like we should have a brainstorming session afterwards every time to say, what do we learn and take away?
Yeah, look, it's interesting. I mean, obviously listening to you, I don't know what to call that, you know, but it was an interesting reflection by you, if not a monologue. But look, we are a noisy society. You know, there's everything that's good, you know, in being a very vocal society. But obviously, what sort of complicates things now, at least for those that just are standing on the sidelines observing what's happening, is the whole social media thing. You know, I don't understand as a journalist how News 24 would subsequently run a story that says South Africa overreacted and quote its readers. Okay, why is it that those readers, their views were never solicited prior to that story ever being written, or for the initial story,
or during the whole debate,
but you know, the moment you see something trending, you latch on it because you might be missing something. And again, this does reflect the power of social media.
It does.
Because traditional media is also following without necessarily dissecting and understanding, you know, how something like this could have emerged. But back to Dos Santos, I think it's all well and good that he's apologized. You know, I think leaders do have to acknowledge mistakes when they've happened. But at the same time, you know, how do you come up with, you know, a phrase like beach switch? You know, it becomes problematic because I, as an individual, I was raised by a single mother. But now I'll take offense if someone were to preclude me from ascribing the fact that, you know, any woman is beautiful. Because that's an acknowledgement that I don't think even my mother would have found offensive, you know, because it could mean a whole range of things, but it wouldn't necessarily mean that there's a sexist view, you know, being apportioned to her, for example. I'm using her as an example. So choice of words, very critical, you know, and it's unfortunate that at the same time, you know, such a very important platform, because we must acknowledge that, I mean, Cliff Central has made these conversations very pertinent, because what's going on here, even with what you've just shared, I mean, there's a lucid aspect to this morass of commotion that has emerged. So out of this, you know, perhaps one thing to learn is that I don't think we are likely to see an end to this sort of approaches to how people react or we react to things as a society. What we possibly need to be aware of is that this by and large will become the norm. But then you need leaders and observers, people like ourselves, you know, to drill through, you know, the morass of what's out there. Because, we have what's called now social media vigilantism.
Yeah.
Where pretty much everything that, you know, like I said earlier, is trending. You know, you latch onto it and find a way to wend your way into it.
The latest thing is pick and pay.
To stay relevant. You know, because, you know, there's millions of these people. I mean, Facebook alone is almost 2 billion people on that thing. So to be heard, you have to latch onto something that most possibly you don't even understand.
Good point. All right, and my concern is whether we actually consciously learn from these experiences to do better next time. And now we have the pick and pay thing that blew up over the weekend about a little boy who broke a chocolate. And it's just people are saying, fire the man. No one actually knows the facts, but fire the manager, do this, do that. And everyone just gets involved just like crazy. Lorraine, your thoughts? Are we learning from these experiences? General thoughts.
Well, it doesn't seem like we are learning. And we need to learn and learn quickly. The rules of engagement, the new rules of engagement around social media, around speaking on any platform, public platform. And we need to learn the culture. We need to learn the language of the groupings that we're engaging in and the sensitivities and nuances around that. And I don't think Mr. Dos Santos did that. The good work that he has done now has just been tainted by this experience because he didn't take time to learn the nuances, the sensitivities, the culture, the language of the very women that he's promoting in his organization. You said in the beginning, we need to be on guard all the time. And I'm saying, let's not be on guard because that's very restrictive. But you need to be conscious of where you are, who you're dealing with, what you're saying as a leader more than anybody at all times. And I think he failed to do that. I cannot believe that the phrase beach switch was developed here, you know, in this interview.
Probably not, no.
Exactly. And I just cannot understand how in the organization that was accepted, that was used and became a popular phrase. It makes me wonder what is happening.
If it was, in fact, using, is it just his own word or is it something that is accepted inside? We don't know.
We don't know. No. But it just makes me wonder, how does it even come to the public space to use that kind of phrase?
You see, there's the whole thing around whether his words were an indication of his real beliefs inside and whether all this wonderful work around women empowerment is, in fact, just a big show, you know. It's just window dressing, but that happened over years. And again, the women in his organization, individual, and they take offense if anyone says they were pressured in doing it. They did it on their own. So there's a lot of signs that this guy might be a recovering sexist or whatever you want to call it. That's just my little word. But the point is, are we castigating him for choice of words, or for sexism, or for what we believe his internal beliefs and attitudes are? We don't know some of these things. Louis, very quickly, and we can come back.
Remember that I learned from what you say, Lorraine. This is a leadership show. Ella's mentioned the point as well. Now, we've learned that good leaders, and we've met hundreds over the years, they tend to approach any situation with a kind of question to ask themselves. And this question is, how can I move this situation in a positive direction? So if we react on social media, we must understand the sensitivity of the cultures we're involved, yes. But we must also decide what our intention is. Do we want to move the situation in a positive direction? If you don't have that kind of question driving you, then in what direction are you really moving the situation? That's why you move it in all different kind of directions, and it causes a lot of unnecessary pain out there.
All right. I mean, why are we so oversensitive? Let's assume we certainly are. It's a mixture of truth and being oversensitive in many instances. Any of these, I'm not just talking about the Jose Dos Santos incident. All over, we get exceptionally oversensitive. And I guess it comes to your comment about social media. you know, our immaturity when it comes to social media. Lorraine, you choose not to be on social media. Maybe there's a very good reason for it. But I
think to your question, why are we becoming sensitive? I think it's to do with, you know, who we're talking about. We're talking about leaders. And there's an instance of a leader here who broke convention and, you know, started mentioning words that, you know, you wouldn't think that, you know, are commonplace, especially in a society that's trying to work its way into an ideal future.
But then he was also attacked, let's say, in some interviews for generalizing about women. Now, as I said in my comments, Lorraine.
But what was the question about women? You know, there were a lot of things said about women. I started wondering, what was the question that would have elicited so much?
If you listen to it, it's very simple. It was just, you are very known for empowering women. You've done amazing things in your business. Mm. And he just went on his own.
Okay. Thank you for the acknowledgement, Adrian. Mm. You know, it's a pleasure. We appreciate everyone that works for CELSI. Full stop.
Yeah, but the question was about their additional effort for the last 3-4 years in empowering women. So it was direct around that.
Why didn't he then use specific examples? Highlight people, women that she has, say, on the board or elsewhere, you know, who are running things. Or maybe bring along a woman if it was such, you know, an important thing to highlight, you know, over what he's done over the years.
I do not think we're being sensitive. Language is very important. And as much as the phrase could have been used internally, this was a public platform. Anybody listens to it, my grandmother, whoever. And for you to even utter that, it's almost like it has nuances of an insult in it, while it's not, or it doesn't mean that, I think was not okay. Mm. So I don't think we're being insensitive. I think people just need to learn the language which they speak in public. He can use it internally, but when he comes here or anywhere else, that's not the language that we speak.
Which is what he apologized for. Yeah. He apologized for that profusely and all over the show.
Yeah. Look, I have no doubt that he's doing a wonderful, you know, job with women empowerment, and I do not judge him for that. In fact, I give him accolades, but I think he needs to learn the language. That's my issue. Mm. Yeah. He can use it internally, but not in a public platform. If it's acceptable there, the reaction tells you that it's not acceptable anywhere else.
Yeah, and there's no one resigning. You know, there's nothing, no real backlash in his business.
But why should he? I mean, you got parliament.
No, I'm not talking about him.
You got parliament where nobody apologizes.
I'm talking about
staff. Resigns, you know.
Yeah.
Could we ask the question, is this just the norm now?
Well let me just, I don't want my words to be taken out of context here. I didn't mean him resigning. I meant employees saying, I'm unhappy with this. I can't work here anymore. There's none of that kind of backlash. But yeah, people did call for his resignation, like they call for the resignation of the Pick and Pay store manager based on no facts.
And the president.
And the president calling him to resign. It doesn't happen. But I think it is a sensitive issue. Just discussing it is dangerous. And my concern is that we have opinion leaders backing off from discussing important issues because my wife is concerned about me discussing this today. I mean, why? Because it's hell of a sensitive. Mm. And I understand that, but I'm willing to even rub shoulders with Lorraine or Feral Hafaji or Iman Rapeti and say, well, if my belief is a little bit cockeyed, what do I say at the end of my message? I make it very clear. I say, these are my views, but I accept that as a fallible human being, I may not be perfectly on the button. Sure, but don't make me scared of discussing it and discovering something new. And my concern is that opinion leaders stop discussing real issues because of the backlash on social media, because people are bullying and because of cyber, what do you call it?
Cyber bullying.
Social media vigilantism.
Vigilantism. So there's so much around this issue, but we cannot be scared and afraid. We've got to come out openly. That's why I'm saying I admit that I grew up in this society. Any male, in my humble view, who says I am totally void of sexism, I managed to escape it in this world of centuries and thousands of years of sexism. I mean, come on. Wow, that's an amazing human being that can say, I have none of that inside of me. Louis?
I think Lorraine's point, though, that on site, we must learn the language in which we participate. It's important, and so I'm sure that you're exactly doing. The other thing is that we must also understand that, I think Jose is a genuine contributor to transformation in this country, and I respect him highly for that. But I think we must understand that what we say is important, you know, and therefore we must understand the implication of that one. Now, social media does kind of encourage a spirit right now of saying anything that you feel. But surely leaders, and this is Lorraine's point and his point, should think differently about that. So it's a case of emotional maturity as well.
Sorry, Louis, but I want to take this point up with you saying we must ever be learning. Shouldn't we think that, you know, going back to Dos Santos, as a leader who is running this multi-million rand corporation, he's learned these things. Is it a question of who is he exposed to understand the context in which he leads? Is that what we're dealing with here, where you find leaders who are blindsided just because of the context in which they find themselves? They're not too exposed to the kind of sensitivities that only emerge after the fact.
Mm. Good question.
Lorraine, your thoughts?
Good question.
I think you're right. It's the same if I'm going to engage with people with disabilities, for an example, and any other groupings. I have to learn their world, their culture, what's good, what's not, what's right, what's wrong for that particular community. And I cannot learn it within my own little world that I engage with. I need to go broader in that. So if he is that much into women empowerment, he should stretch himself beyond his own boundaries. Hence, I'm saying it's okay for that phrase to be used internally, but elsewhere outside that, with other women, it doesn't work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's have the women have the last say, yeah? Thank you so much, Lorraine, for having the courage to come and discuss this and unpack it with us. You're also a book review expert, so we're going to take a 30-second break and then come back and do a book review. And after that, Tabud Lorty, CEO of Liberty, one of the iconic brands in our country. What's happening there? What has he learned about leadership? Incredible training in his past. And of course, this is also an industry that is probably changing hugely, transforming like one can't even imagine. So we're going to talk leadership with Tabud Lorty. Stay with us.
CliffCentral.com.